Welcome to Learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Today on the show, we hear stories from Anne Ball, Christopher Jones Cruz, Anna Mateo, Mernush Karamian Ainsworth, John Russell, and Ashley Thompson.
Observers and activists in Vietnam are concerned about a fine against a foreign-owned steel factory for polluting ocean waters along the coast. The observers and activists say the record pollution fine would not pay all victims of the environmental disaster. They also say it does not send a strong enough warning to other export manufacturers. The steel factory, Formosa Ha Tin, was accused of letting toxic waste pollute the ocean in April. The pollution caused 80 tons of fish to wash up on coastal beaches. In June, the government fined the Taiwanese-financed steel plant $500 million for fish deaths along 200 kilometers of a coastline southeast of Hanoi. That is believed to be the largest fine ever against a company in Vietnam. The plant apologized and agreed to clean up the wastewater system, but people familiar with the issue say the fine cannot cover the continued losses to fishermen, seaside businesses, and local people. Some have developed skin diseases from touching the water. The sale of seafood has slowed throughout Vietnam. That has hurt the fishing industry. Citizens hope Vietnamese officials will test the ocean water to make sure it is safe. How involved the Vietnamese government gets in the fish death case will send a message to foreign investors. Some people think the government went easy on Formosa Ha Tin to protect the company's $10 billion investment in Vietnam. Foreigners have built export manufacturing factories in the country to save on costs. Those plants helped to expand Vietnam's economy by 30% over the past 5 years to $193 billion in 2015. Le Cong Dinh is a lawyer at a law office in Ho Chi Minh City. He said the government will use the fish kill fine as an alert to all doing business in Vietnam. We want them to comply with the laws and satisfy the condition of the environment, he added. Environment Minister Tran Hong Ha told local media in June the fine covers only direct material damages. The money does not cover psychological losses to fishermen who suffered a drop in earnings. He called the fine too small. Vietnamese living in Taiwan protested last week. They called for the steel plant's investor, Formosa Plastics Corporation, to leave Vietnam. Vietnamese officials say the fish deaths affected about 5 million people. Some have not recovered, said Duc Tuong, an independent reporter and member of the non-governmental organization Brotherhood for Democracy. Fishers in the oceans near the plant are catching less fish than a year ago. Fish sauce producers are suspected of using the dead fish illegally, Duke and other activists said. An activist said environmental experts should test the water quality of the once polluted seas. Tran Bong is an engineer and activist in Ho Chi Minh City. He said an independent report showed high levels of 6 chemicals. But officials in the coastal city of Da Nang told local media in April that its waters were already safe for swimming. I'm Anne Ball.
Researchers in Ireland and England may have discovered a new way to fight roundworm parasites. The researchers say they identified a method that could possibly turn an animal at risk for the disease into one that can fight the infection. Their findings were published in PLOS, the Public Library of Science. More than 800 million people around the world are infected with the parasite. The highest infection rates are in parts of Asia, South Central Latin America, and Africa, south of the Sahara. The World Health Organization says roundworm is one of many neglected diseases in warm climates. In other words, not much research is being done to stop these diseases. Roundworm is the most common of 3 diseases transmitted through soil. Most humans infected with roundworm do not show signs of the disease. People only realize they are infected after the parasite leaves the body in the person's waste or vomit. Fertilized roundworm eggs are left in the soil from human waste. When the eggs enter the body, they hatch in the intestine. The roundworm larvae then move into the liver, where they grow larger. They then travel through the bloodstream into the lungs. After a few days, the worms leave the lungs and enter the throat, where they are either swallowed or expelled from the body. If they return to the intestines, the female worms can produce up to 200,000 eggs a day. The eggs are deposited into the soil when a person defecates. This restarts the cycle of infection. Roundworms can be especially harmful to children. Adult worms can live in the body for up to 2 years, blocking the intestines. The larvae can also cause breathing problems when they enter the lungs. The WHO fights the parasite by deworming people who live in areas with high rates of infection. Patients are given strong medicines designed to kill the parasites. Graham Medley is a professor of infectious disease modeling at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. He noted that deworming is effective at stopping the disease from spreading, but it does not end the health threat. His comments were published in the British medical journal, The Lancet. Medley told VOA that roundworms are a major public health problem in low-income countries, and having a drug that prevents infection would be a major advance. Researchers have found that some people are more likely to be infected with roundworm than others. But it is costly to study humans, so researchers use mice that have the same chance of being infected. When these animals are infected, a larger number of the parasites enter their lungs than enter those of mice that are resistant to the parasites. Earlier research suggested that the livers of these two genetically different mice must be different. Jim Carolan works at Maynooth University in Ireland. He told VOA that humans should be able to stop the parasite from entering our bodies. But it doesn't, he said, because the roundworms have evolved ways to evade or suppress the system. Carolan wanted to learn how the organisms did that. So he studied the liver proteins of the two genetically different mice. He and his team found that the liver cells of resistant mice had more copies of a protein than the mice that were more likely to be infected. The proteins create a chemical which the researchers believe could be toxic to the parasitic cells, but they are not sure. Carolan notes that more research must be done before drugs can be developed and tested on humans. But he said the research is pointing us in a direction that we need to focus on. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
Nigerian officials have launched a polio vaccination campaign in the country's northeast, where two new cases of the virus were found. Health officials say the virus was discovered in two children from Borno State. The discovery came days before what was supposed to be a major anniversary. 2 years without a case of polio in Africa's most populous country. That would have left only 1 year before Nigeria and the rest of Africa would have been declared to be polio-free. John Vertufe is director of the polio program at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in the U.S. He said the discovery is disappointing, adding that the two new cases will require a massive vaccination effort. According to Nigerian officials, a boy, aged 15 months, and a 2-year-old girl were diagnosed with polio earlier this year. Both are likely paralyzed for life, health officials said. Muhammad Ali Pate is from northern Nigeria and is now with the Duke University Global Health Institute. He said the Chagari Foundation, with the support of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, is continuing to work on community engagement through the Northern Traditional Leaders on primary health care and polio eradication, and that will continue. Northern Nigeria is where Boko Haram militants operate. They have made vaccination campaigns difficult. Nigerian Ministry of Health official Olajide Osandu told VOA that his agency is working with the Nigerian military to reduce risks. They will be part of the team that will go around to guarantee safety of the health workers, he said. Polio is not the only health threat in Borno State. Nearly 1 in 4 children there suffers from life-threatening malnourishment. Doctors Without Borders has worked in northeast Nigeria since 2014 to help fight malnutrition and diseases such as cholera and measles. In related news, officials in Afghanistan are restarting polio vaccinations. The vaccines are being offered to thousands of children in eastern Afghanistan. Until recently, the area was under the control of Islamic State militants. The vaccinations were on hold for more than 18 months because health workers were not able to safely travel to 3 districts in Nangarhar province, which borders Pakistan. The Islamic State group has blocked polio vaccinations and gave out misinformation linking the vaccines to fertility problems for both boys and girls. They also said that the vaccines contain pork products, which are not permitted under Islamic law. Neither statement is true. Recent military operations by Afghan and U.S. forces are reported to have cleared many areas of Islamic State militants. I'm Ana Mateo.
Fifteen people are no longer prisoners at the United States military's prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. 12 detainees from Yemen and 3 Afghans were released to the government of the United Arab Emirates. The release was announced on August 15th. It was the largest transfer of detainees from the prison during the nearly 8-year presidency of Barack Obama. The move comes during a renewed push to reduce the number of people jailed at Guantanamo. The U.S. Department of Defense said on Monday that 61 detainees are still held there. The prison has mostly been used to hold those captured by their government's war on terrorism. President Obama is facing his own deadline to close the prison. Obama will leave office in January 2017. He promised to close Guantanamo when he was first elected in 2008. The president faces opposition about the future of the prison from many members of Congress. A top official with the rights group Amnesty International believes Guantanamo will remain open. There is a significant possibility this is going to remain open as a permanent offshore prison to hold people practically until they die, said Noreen Shah, Amnesty's U.S. Director for Security and Human Rights. One of the detainees who just left Guantanamo spent more than 13 years there. He was identified as an Afghan national named Obaidullah. He had been accused of hiding and storing mines to be used against U.S. forces in Afghanistan. I'm Mehrnoush Karamian Ainsworth.
This is What's Trending Today. On August 16th, 1954, Sports Illustrated published its first ever magazine. The new publication led with an article called "The Golden Age is Now." 62 years later, Sports Illustrated is one of the most famous sports publications in the world. And now, it has published perhaps its most golden cover yet. The cover photo of the August 22nd edition of the magazine features U.S. Olympic gold medal swimmers Katie Ledecky and Michael Phelps, along with gold medal gymnast Simone Biles. The cover reads, "The Greatests." Together, the three athletes won 16 Olympic medals in Rio de Janeiro. 13 of them are gold. Shortly after the magazine released its Greatests cover this week, it became a trending topic on social media. Phelps is the most decorated Olympian of all time, with 28 medals. The 31-year-old won 6 medals in Rio, 5 of them gold. 19-year-old Ledecky won 4 gold medals and a silver medal in Rio. And first-time Olympian Biles, also 19, won 4 golds and 1 bronze medal. She tied the record for most gold medals won in one Olympics by a woman gymnast. Phelps wrote on his Facebook page that it was an honor to share the cover with Ledecky and Biles. Sports Illustrated wrote that the photo shoot took place Sunday evening in Rio. Biles had just won her 3rd of 4 gold medals of the Games. People on social media called the 3 athletes heroes and superstars. And that's what's trending today.
English learners can improve their ability to remember and use new words by testing themselves. This idea comes from Sarah Lynn, an educational consultant and teacher at Harvard University's Bridge Program. She adds that self-testing improves retrieval, the ability to use and remember new words. Beyond improving the learner's ability to retrieve information, self-testing improves the learner's confidence, too. If you are like many learners, you may have faced a situation such as this one.
Hey, did you study the new English grammar lesson?
No, I don't need to. I already know that topic.
Hey, how did you do on the English grammar test?
I don't want to talk about it. I thought I knew the lesson.
This dialogue shows a common situation. Language learners think they understand a topic, yet when asked to use what they learned, they are not able to remember the information. Not being able to retrieve new ideas could happen on a test or even in a conversation. The basic problem is this: learners did not learn something as well as they thought they did. Learning takes effort. It takes effort because the learning process changes the brain, says Sarah Lynn. One way it changes the brain is by creating connections. These connections, which we discussed in previous education stories, are called dendrites. Lynn suggests that dendrite connections are important for retrieval. There are 3 main ideas about how to grow dendrites and improve retrieval, says Lynn. We covered the first 2 ideas, making connections and using repetition, in previous education stories. The 3rd method to grow dendrite connections is to test yourself. Lynn is not the only expert who recommends self-testing. A paper in the Journal of Applied Research in Memory and Cognition tells about the benefits of testing yourself. The paper says one benefit of testing practice is that it improves retrieval. Retrieving information once makes retrieving that information easier in the future. In addition, the paper says, when students test themselves as part of studying, they learn what they do not know. When students know what they do not understand, they can pay attention to improving their weaknesses. Lynn recommends that learners test themselves by getting away from what they are studying. Then, they should test themselves by thinking about what they have learned. She recommends that learners make themselves write or speak something. Lynn suggests reading something or watching a video on the topic, then summarizing it. This will allow learners to test what they know.
But actually, if you close the book or turn off the YouTube video and then write down or audio record yourself of what you remember, and then you go back and you see what it is, that's really when you begin to construct your own understanding of the new knowledge, and you begin to organize it and control it and eventually master it.
The benefits of such practice, Lynn says, are not just about improving your ability to remember information. By testing yourself, you can build confidence in the skills you have developed. When you test yourself, Lynn says, you will see how much progress you have made. This progress will satisfy and encourage you to do more in the future. The next time you are studying English, try to test yourself. A simple way to test vocabulary is to create flashcards with clues on one side and the answer on the back. Flashcards in the past were small cards or pieces of paper with a word or a question on one side and the meaning or answer to the question on the other side. Students used them to quiz each other or quiz themselves to review for examinations. Now, many online services allow students to create digital flashcards. One such service is Quizlet, where learners can do a variety of activities based on one set of new words or information. You can match words and meanings, write a word after looking at a picture, or listen to a word and write it. You can also play games with the new words and meanings. Another way is to ask yourself questions at the end of the day, at the end of a study session, or at other times. Lynn recommends that learners ask questions such as, "What did I learn today? What were those words I thought were interesting? What was that verb tense I learned? How does it work?" The important point is this: effective learning takes time, effort, and practice. Do not just assume that you can read something once or twice and fully understand it. Even if you highlight important points or take notes in a class, you probably do not fully understand what you learned. After all, Olympic athletes cannot learn how to swim or run just from reading a book. They have to practice swimming or running every day for years. They often compete in races to test their skills. Like those athletes, successful language learners practice as much as they can and test themselves to improve their skills. Self-testing is one way to improve your retrieval and inform your future course of study. Give it a try and let us know how it works for you. I'm John Russell.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Thanks for listening.